My guest today on Piano Jazz is Gerald Wilson, one of the greatest arranger-composers that ever was, and the most fabulous individual you're likely to meet. How are you, Gerald?
I'm good, Marion.
It's so nice to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you, and it's a great honor and a pleasure for me to be with you, Marion.
Oh, thank you. I've been having a ball listening to your record, In My Time, which is a good title. Where did that come from? Did you dream that up?
Well, Marion, I have to tell the truth. I didn't dream that up. But the producer of this album on Mack Avenue Records is a man by the name of Al Pryor, and he suggested that title, and I thought it was great.
Well, it's very good. And, of course, Sax Chase starts out the album. That's a wonderful piece. And why did you call it Sax Chase?
Well, Marion, if you'll notice, all of the saxophones in this number play solos. So that's five different saxophone players playing, and they chase each other.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yes.
That's what it is. Uh-huh. Do you think it would be all right if we played a little bit of that so we could all hear it?
That'd be good.
When did you get the idea that you were going to be an arranger? Were you about five or something like that? Your mother played, didn't she?
Yes, my mother was a pianist, and she was also a school teacher, Marion. She taught school where I attended my first 8 years in school, grammar school. And she started me on when I was about 4 years old, and as she did with my brother and sister. My sister was a classical pianist, so it was music in our house all day long. I knew all about Rachmaninoff because my sister was playing Prelude and C-sharp minor, and she was playing Bach, Brahms, Beethoven. So been around music all my life and just try to learn all I can. And I, back in those days when I was a little kid, about 10 years old, I used to listen to Duke Ellington and Earl Hines and Chick Webb and all the great bands over the radio, and I decided then that's what I wanted to be, one of those kind of people.
So that's when you got yourself a trumpet?
Yes, because my brother was a good piano player. He could play good jazz on the piano, and my sister could play great classical. So I said, I'd like to have a horn because I want to march in the band. I used to see the kid bands come come up. I said, I want to march with a little horn, you know. So they got me a trumpet, and that became my instrument.
And you were living in Shelby, Mississippi?
Well, Shelby, very small town, Marion, just a few hundred people there. And as I said, my mother taught school there at the school, which she taught there all her life. And she even taught there when it was segregated. And she even taught there after it was integrated. She taught there until she had to retire. And so it was a good thing for me. She let me go. She had to send me away when I was just about 12 years old. I had to go to Memphis, Tennessee.
What do you mean she sent you away?
Well, I had to go to high school. The closest high school was in Clarksdale, and I didn't want to go to Clarksdale. It was only 26 miles away in a small town. But Memphis was a city, so
you wanted to get away.
I wanted to get away, yes. And where I could get really some training on the trumpet, because that it was there that I got my first trumpet teacher who got me going really good.
Did you think about arranging even then?
Yes, because, see, I was already listening to Duke Ellington, and as I said, I'd hear these fine arrangements by Duke, and you'd hear Earl Hines' band. He had great arrangements with his band. Chick Webb had Edgar Sampson. There were great arrangers, and I decided I wanted to be an arranger, and started studying harmony and orchestration, which came a little later. I was lucky enough to, I went to the World's Fair in 1934 in Chicago, and Chicago was such a great city, larger than Memphis even.
Oh, that must have been a thrill.
It was a thrill, and so I begged my mother to send me to Chicago because it was really nice. You didn't have to sit at the back of the streetcar. There were many things you could do in Chicago that you couldn't do in Memphis or Shelby. And she said, well, I can't send you to Chicago, but I can send you to Detroit, Michigan. And I said, well, that's good. That's anyway, as long as it's in the north. And so she sent me to Detroit, and that was a blessing in disguise, Marion. I got a chance to go to Cass Technical High School there.
Yeah, I remember that school. Yeah. I guess I knew people from there,
mm-hmm.
Cass High School.
Yes.
Billie Holiday played a place called The Flame.
Oh, yes, on John R. Boulevard. I know exactly where it is, yeah, where it was, yes.
Yeah, I used to play in Detroit a lot.
Uh-huh.
So you were there several years.
I spent 5 years there, Marion, and I studied harmony, orchestration. I had to take piano. You had to take percussion. It was music practically all day, and had such a actually classmates as Al McKibben, one of the great bass players.
Oh, no kidding.
He was my classmate. Wardell Gray, one of the great tenor sax players of all time. We were all there together, Rudy Rutherford and many other great musicians.
So is that the time you went with Jimmy Lunsford?
Yes, you know, it seems as though everything was always in place for me. I got out of school that year and had only been out of school for a couple of weeks, and I got a wire to join Jimmy Lunsford's band. And I called him, and I joined his band.
Well, one of the tunes maybe you arranged this for Jimmy Lunsford, On the Alamo, did you?
Yes, I did. And it was just about that time, Marion, that I was getting into orchestrations real good. And it turned out to be one of my best, and Jimmy was very happy with it. And so was the band. They all encouraged me. And before I left, I had probably about 10 numbers in the repertoire.
Well, as much as I would love to hear your version of that, the best I can do is play you a piano version of On the Alamo. Can I do that?
Oh, I'd love to hear you play it, Marion.
I'm thinking of what key I used to do that tune in.
Well, you can probably play it in any key.
I hope I know it. Here it goes.
Okay.
Other things, do you teach?
Well, you know, I've been at UCLA for 16 years, and along with Kenny Burrell there, we're still there. And I also spent 13 years at Cal State Northridge, that's in California. I also spent 6 years at Cal State LA. In all, I've spent 35 years in the college.
But then
system.
When you're doing that, what do you do? Do you just take off when you have a date with the band?
Oh, yes. They let me go whenever I want to and get back. But it's usually, it happens, it works out. It'll usually be on the weekend. And then I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Those are my days. And by the way, Marion, if you're out in California, I want you to come and visit my class. I have the largest jazz class in the world.
I'd love to, and I could probably learn a lot, too.
No, you know all I'm going to be saying. But I have 480 students in my class.
My God, that's an awful lot.
Yeah, we're in an auditorium. We're in Schoenberg Hall, one of the big auditoriums at UCLA.
Do you have any examples? Do you play some records or something?
Oh, we have the records by the people we're talking about. From the beginning of the first record that was ever made up to everybody I speak of, we play their music there.
What's the first record that was ever made? I'd like to know.
Okay, the first record that was ever recorded was recorded, of course, by the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Oh, sure,
yes.
Course.
And by the way, do you know what number that was? Back home in Indiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, that has to be an old tune.
Yes, it is. And a great one.
It's a good tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What it got to be eventually, didn't it?
Yeah.
Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
And then I guess you included that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We played the first Indiana ever recorded. Then we played Donna Lee.
Oh,
and
boy.
And we usually sing it with him. You know, go
well,
with
it. Well, I was thinking of another guy. Was Buddy Bolden a guy just in your figment of your imagination, or was he really there?
Oh, he's real. He was the king of jazz. He's the first man to ever improvise, and he could play. He was so good that when he would play at the Jackson Park in New Orleans, he'd just go to the window when it's time for him to play, and he'd blow his horn, and all the people in the park would come to where he was. And the funny thing about him, Marion, you might like to know, he only played one job outside of New Orleans, and that was only a few miles away. It was a place called Plaquemine. Then he never played any other place. And his life, in 1907, he never played another note after that. He went to the insane asylum where he stayed for 31 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, never played another note.
I remember somebody had a tune called I Thought I Heard Buddy Bolden Say.
Funky butt, funky butt, take it away. Well, you see, he played in a ballroom called the Funky Butt Ballroom. They have pictures of it and everything in the book that I have. It's his life story. They have many pictures, photographs of him in there.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic man he must have been.
I've got to make a trip to California just so I can come to that class.
I'd love it.
So how about if you would suggest a tune for me to play? Some standard tune that I would know.
Okay. You know, a tune that I like very much is one of my favorite musicians and composers and arrangers. And it's a number called In a Sentimental Mood.
I know you like that tune. I know you like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.